electric. But today, the church all over, what are we celebrating? What are we celebrating? Today is what? What happened on the resurrection? Because almost every time we gather, we always talk about he died and he rose. So nothing is special today, Abby. Yeah, not serious. If the churches have decided to use today to celebrate the resurrection, we will celebrate it. Did you hear?
Yes.
Open to your Philippians 3:3, where she read earlier. We are going to read it again. Philippians. Okay, are we there? Philippians 3:3. For we are the circumcision which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus, and we have no confidence in the flesh. Let's read it again. This is who you are. For we are what?
We are the circumcision
which worship God in the spirit and rejoice in Christ Jesus and have no confidence in the flesh. You know, when Jesus was talking to that woman in Samaria, and he said, you worship what you know not. And whatever you think you're worshiping, that's not it. You sort of need to start dragging a bad location. Say the time will come when people will worship God where? In spirit. And then, you see how Jesus, what Paul was saying now, we are the circumcision, we are the ones that worship where? In the spirit. And we do what? We rejoice in Christ Jesus. Remember when we talked about Christian songs and worship, how we concluded? The fact that if you are glad about what God did for you, songs will naturally what? Come forth. And the highest praise you can give God. I know many of us praise God that he created the ancient mountain. What was that song again? I don't know the Yoruba thing, but... We know that song was saying that we worship God, and we thank God that created the ancient mountain. And for us, because before we thought that was the highest praise you can give to God. Oh God, you are the one that's your outstretched arm. You are the one that can do and undo. You are the one that can just stretch this thing and just scatter this world. You are the one that turns things around for my good. You know that's the highest praise we thought we could give God. You are the one that made the sun, the stars, the sea, the star. Oh, how great. And we felt that was the highest thing God did. But in Christ, we realized that God is only pleased when we worship him for what he has done. So who you are, the man in Christ, you as you are now, the new creation, is the highest thing God did. It's higher than the mountains. It's higher than the valley. It's higher than the planet star. Because we see those things as huge. You see a mountain that you think is huge. And you see yourself as just a man that can die today. You, as you are here. The spirit in you that God gave you is the highest thing he did. It took him to die, to resurrect, for you to have that spirit. So when you worship God based on that, you know, today is the resurrection. Well, we are celebrating resurrection. You can think about it. We have been singing it. In Christ, we are sanctified. We are justified. We live forever. We have boldness. We have righteousness. We are holy. And all the things we just need to form around. So, oh, I'm the righteousness of God in Christ. It happened because of today. So we rejoice in Christ Jesus. The way some people were rejoicing when their fake club just scored 2 goals in 2 minutes yesterday and they just shouted, hey! This is more than that. We rejoice in Jesus. We have not started. If we don't celebrate, if we are not glad about it, I know. Other things are real to us. We are waiting for money, you know. Like, for example, if you give me 3 million now, as I'm here, I would dance. Well, we know that some things, we attribute a lot of things. Like, Kelvin, if I give him a new phone, Kelvin would just worship me. I'm like, that alone is what. But these things are more. Our value is eternal. The things we place value on are eternal. They are eternal. We rejoice in Christ Jesus. We have no confidence in the flesh. None. Glory! appreciation. Forget the ones that will carry palm and carry this thing and carry white cloth or carry the, even if you bring the what's that in ass and you roll it again and put palm front on the glass and you see that's what you are celebrating. Nothing. If you decide not to eat meat all the days of your life, you have not celebrated nothing. Until you are happy about who God made you, you have not appreciated God. Until you can see yourself and like, wow, I am clean, I am not dirty. As in the most holy one lives inside of me. I am the tabernacle of God. I'm the temple. Me as I'm here. With my bow legs, I'm the temple of God. I am the perfection in Christ. As in nothing is better than me as I'm standing. No confidence in the flesh. None. And as we celebrate that Jesus is alive forevermore, we celebrate even more that we are alive forevermore. That we can never die. That's why. You see the confidence that Paul had. He said at the end of the day, we wake up and say, "Death, where is your sting? Grave, where is your victory? Oh yeah, now come and kill me now." Because when men die physically, death will think he's rejoicing. This one has been shouting that I'm alive. She has killed you now, and at the end we resurrect and go back and say, "Death, oh yeah, touch me. Where is your power? That power you are. Where is it? We are the ones that are alive forever. We can never die. I will never know how much it costs. Meaning I will never go to hell. Never. 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 The resurrection must be real to you. Because Paul said, if only on this earth you have hope. You are of all men most miserable. But we know that we are groaning and waiting for our body. But even till then, we rejoice in the one that we have. Because we are the temple of God. We are alive forever. Forever. I'm just going to teach you one song so that we can teach Shango. Because pastor is very spiritual. Today's topic is not related to resurrection. Today is Easter. The topic is, I said, today is Easter. Don't worry, teach what I gave you. But we have to just remember again that today's resurrection. So I love you, help me sing this song. Praise the Lord. It's simply, hallelujah. God said, I'm alive. Hallelujah. I'm alive forevermore. That's the song. So yeah, it's kind of fast. So it's spiritual people. We don't need Easter to remind us. We know. And we are always glad about it. Praise God. Okay. Today we are going to do a study on spiritual growth. Oh, you want to hear resurrection morning? The mystery of the 3 days. On day one, 12 hours. This was where it was. On day one, 14 hours. That was when the spirit was just at the entrance of hell. Then in 30 minutes, it took him 30 minutes to walk from the gate of hell. And then he took 3 more steps. And then he stayed and said, should I enter? No, I should not enter. And then he decided to enter because he knows he will come out. And then he just went there and the devil was like, hey, you are here. He said, don't worry, I'm just chilling here for 3 days. I'm giving you rhema. You know, I was there when it happened. Abi, were you not there? We were dead with him now. We're there now. Abi, were you not there? I was there. I knew everything that happened. In case you have not yet perceived it, come for me for revelation. I'll tell you. Glory. And then that Sunday morning, you know, by this time, by 1 a.m., the devil was still sleeping. And then Jesus just chilled down and said, boy, you know I'm going today, right? They would say, where are you going to? Now, yes, where are you this? Okay, calm down, I'm coming. So Jesus said, I'm coming. Let me wait. The Father has an appointment with me at 6 o'clock. I'm coming. So by 5 o'clock, like, devil, you know I'm going out today. You're not going anywhere. And then by 5:40, devil just suddenly said, only devil just carried the key himself. I wanted to give Jesus. I don't know what's happening, but just take God. And then, is that the revelation you're waiting for? Come on, open your Bible to spiritual growth. You're waiting for one rhema on Abba's resurrection. The Lord sanctify all your minds. Praise God. Hallelujah. Okay, on Wednesday, we did a study for those of you that were not here. We said, why the epistles? That was what we studied on Wednesday. Why do we read the epistles? Why do we focus on it? Why do we give the epistles so much importance? Why do we tell people, read the epistle? Why do we tell persons that say, when you go and open the Old Testament and you tell us that, see, in this place, the Bible said God closed the womb of, is it Anna? What was her name? That God closed the womb. That if the Bible says God closed the womb, and then God now remembered, because he forgot that he closed the womb, then later I now remember that after Anna had cried, I really closed your womb. You know, I closed like 1 million women womb all over the world. If people don't remind me, I don't remember these things. So after Anna cried, God said, but I'm not interested in opening it now. Then Anna said, okay, let me bribe you. If you give me the child, I'll give you back. God said, okay, very good. Okay, yeah, I'll open the womb. Then that first child, bring you. If you don't bring you, not give birth again. Anna said, okay, Anna brought that one. Then later, Anna have 6 more. Praise God. So you know those kind of interesting stories in the Old Testament. Why do we come up and say, no, God closed nobody's womb. Even though we are seeing it there, God closed it. What gave us that kind of boldness? The epistles. So why is the epistles superior to what we have in the Old Testament? We saw all that on Wednesday. So if you're not around, I'm sorry. I don't think I want to do that study anymore. But if you buy me malt or a bottle of wine, or you celebrate Easter for me, you know, it's not like Christmas Day to dash people money now. If you celebrate Easter for me, I will think about it. Praise God. So today we are talking about spiritual growth. How do I know I am growing? Am I supposed to grow spiritually? After all, in Christ, I am free. I am justified. I'm sanctified. In fact, I'm complete in him who is the head of all principalities. If I am complete in Christ, what other completion do I need? I need that no man complete me, for in Christ I am grown. Hallelujah. Because there is no baby spirit, there is no adolescent or teenager Holy Ghost. We only have one Holy Ghost, full mature. So I have that Holy Ghost. I don't go through adolescent in Christianity. And my spirit is just complete. So I don't need to grow. I'm grown in Christ. All of you will like false teachers. So why do we need to grow? Because a lot of persons still have that question. But imagine telling somebody that in Christ you are perfect, in Christ you are complete, in Christ you are this, and then you're not telling the person, don't lie. Avoid profane conversations. Let your life show forth. It looks like a contradiction, Abby, because you're just telling the person that God sees you perfect, complete in Christ, and yet you're still telling the person that let your light shine forth, let your life reflect who you are. So what is that discrepancy? And for that woman that met us last year, I said, character. Character matters. So why do people say that? Hallelujah. The woman was very sincere. She said, I know that it is God and Jesus that sacrificed that made us go to heaven. But my brother, character. You cannot tell me that. Character. The woman said character like 10 times in 1 minute. She just said character. And I don't blame her. Why? Because even the epistles teach it. Abi? But it's not a condition for the life you have in Christ. So what is, let us focus on that now. Spiritual growth. What is God's intention? God's intention for man is that we are saved and that we come to the knowledge of the truth. You should just be opening that particular passage. I don't need to even quote it anymore. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. See all these people. Praise God. All right, 1 Timothy, turn your Bibles there. We'll read from verse 3. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will allow all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth. So you see that it is a dual-fold duty we have. So we don't get men saved and then just tell them, now you are born again, now you have been inducted into the family of God, go in this thy mind, go in peace, the Lord bless you. That is not the end of it. So when you get men saved, you don't leave them to just go about their own normal way. 1 Timothy 2:4. See, you didn't even know where it was. 1 Timothy 2:4. So God wants all men saved and to do what? Of truth. So you see, salvation is the ultimate. But in our walk here on earth, we have to grow spiritually. That is how you see, that's the difference between coming to the knowledge of the truth. So that's not coming to knowledge of the truth summarizes the whole path of spiritual growth. Praise God. So that men be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth is the focus and the commission we have been given. That is why we ensure that when a man gets born again, the natural progression is that he grows. And how do we know a man that has grown? That's what we are going to look at for the first about 30 minutes. Let's see how we do it. How do you measure spiritual growth? Because we keep hearing, grow up, you need to grow spiritually, grow spiritually. What is the parameters? For example, if I give birth to a child and you don't see that child in, maybe you just saw the child when he was born, and then you come to visit me 3 years' time, and then you see the baby walking up and even telling you, Uncle, stop that, don't do that. And like, this child has grown, no. Do you understand? Because you can see changes that you did not see before. And the child being able to do things he couldn't do when he was born. And then he has grown. And then you come back again in 10 years. And then you are seeing the child giving you calculus and telling you that thing. So the child is just quoting it for you. And quoting Pythagoras' theorem. I know that one. Please, I'm an art student. I read law. You can ask me questions based on that. I'll give you. But I know all things in Christ. So you the child is just giving you all that, and then you speak one English like, why did you cry? Why did you say that? It's not why did you cry. It is why did you cry? When you use did, you don't use the verb in past tense. It has to be in present tense. And you open your mouth like, come on, keep quiet there. When you were born, you know, I was not there. I mean, I changed your diaper. It's not by changing diaper. The child knew things that you did not know. So at that point, you're like, please begin, don't grow. So your mouth don't be sharp. Then you come back in 5 years' time, and they're like, where is that child? He's graduating from school. He's not doing, just now. Sometimes they fly. What's the engineer? And then you cannot even talk. The child is now, you know, if you are blessed with my kind of height, the child is now taller than you, and you are looking up like, well done. And the child is looking at you, good morning. And you just keep quiet. You cannot even say, I will conquer you. You respect yourself and say, bless you. And then 2 years' time, they are inviting you for a wedding. Come on, you just, in your own mind, you are seeing the child that was born when you were carrying as a baby. And then later, they are calling you for Mugo, and then the child has born child. And then that child now grows again, a born child. And then you now start realizing that you are old. Anyway, before I digress too much. So you see that you can judge physical growth physically, right? You can say, this person is growing, this person has grown, this person has done this. So spiritually too, since we cannot see the spirit, how do we judge that a person has grown spiritually? But first of all, let us draw a dichotomy. The fact that we say spiritual growth does not mean it is the spirit that is growing. So we must settle that fact now. Praise God. The spirit of God in you is perfect. It cannot grow more than it is growing. There is nothing that the spirit will now know in 5 years' time that it did not know when it entered you. Praise God. So the Spirit of God in you, the Spirit of man, the Spirit of the new creature is perfect. It does not need to grow. It cannot grow. It is already grown in Christ. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. So we settled that. So when you just hear spiritual growth, don't just run and think that, okay, it is my spirit that is growing. But we know that man is spirit, soul, and body. So because of that tripartite nature of man, there are other things that will catch up. We need to catch up, in quotes, with the spirit. You know, it is like when you say, imagine having a child that already the child has the brain of, who is the best scientist that ever lived? Are you sure? Are you sure Stephen Hawking was not the... It's okay. Einstein and Stephen Hawking and the rest. Nobody's even calling my name. What is your problem? Don't you know that I'm a very... the name of the most intelligent person that I've ever lived. Come on. Jesus came. Praise God. So imagine somebody born with that brain complete inside that child's head. But the child cannot... You cannot see anything physically to say, this is who this person is. So the person has to, the person's body or the person's body, speech, everything has to grow and catch up with that fully developed brain the child already has. Do you understand? I know it doesn't happen in real life. I'm just giving you an example. So that's the way it is. The spirit you have at the new birth is complete, perfect, wanting nothing. But man, in his soul or in his mind and in his body, we'll need to catch up to that spirit. Of course, we know the progression. Our mind will catch up first. Our body will be catching up until the final day when it finally catches up. Do you understand what I'm trying to say, Abby? By the resurrected body, the glorified body. That's what I mean by our body catching up. But I know some people's mind will not catch up here. And so when we get to heaven, we ensure that their mind also catch up. Praise God. Don't worry. Let me not go that direction. Praise God. All right, praise the Lord. All right, so how do we measure spiritual growth? Spiritual growth, how do we measure it? 1 Timothy 4, verse 15. That's in 1 Timothy 4, verse 15. Meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them, that thy profiting may appear to who? And thy profiting may appear to what? So you see Paul's admonition to Timothy. He said, when you give yourself to these things, when you meditate on the things that you have received, your profit will appear to all. That means you will get better, and that's better, or that's way the better that you get will show to other persons. Do you understand? Your profiting may appear to all. How you develop your own self will show to every other person. So spiritual growth can be measured. It is not an abstract term. It is not that because we tell you growth, you just say spiritual growth. Yeah, we cannot see it. How do you know I'm not growing? I'm growing. No, we can measure it. We can know from your speech. We can know from your conduct. We can know from your actions that this person is growing or this person is retrogressing, if there's ever a thing like that in Christ. Praise God. So that's what I want to show you, that spiritual growth can be measured. And what are the ways we can see and say, okay, this person is growing. This person is better than he was when he became born again. All right, number one. Of course, you know the first thing I'm going to say is increase in knowledge. Increase in what? Knowledge. The first sign that a believer is growing is that his knowledge of the word of Christ increases. So the things that he has in his, the things he knew before about God, or you know, some persons, for example, before they get born again, they already felt that some persons see God as one always angry, wicked person, or some persons think that they can never be saved, or there is no hope for them. And then they get born again, and you teach them that, okay, in Christ, your sins have been paid for, even though they don't fully understand it yet, but at least they know now that there is a remedy for them. Praise God. So their knowledge of there is no hope has changed to, in me, I am saved. At least I have hope. Even though it is limited to as long as I keep obeying, but at least the knowledge has shifted a little. Praise God. So the fundamental thing you will see to judge a person's growth is that knowledge increases. And knowledge actually increases. It's not that the knowledge, what you have known now is what you still know. Like, I don't know, it's only Nigeria curriculum that does not change. The physics you studied now is the one that your father studied in 1960, this thing. And I hope not what my child will study. Nigeria's curriculum is not evolving. It is just there. The curriculum is still in there. It's just there. As a, but other developed parts of the world, curriculum changes. So it is, as new things are discovered, these ones are let go, everybody moves on, moves on. But we are still as it was in the beginning, so it's now and shall forever be. No, it will not forever be. So knowledge increases. Don't think that, so, you know, because people say, ah, what do you know? It's not the same school we went to. It's not the same work you wrote. I wrote the same. Yeah, bring your question paper, I can answer it. Knowledge increases. Praise God. Of course, we are going to qualify that as we go on. Before you now say that you have your knowledge has progressed more than the apostles and the epistles, and you have progressed in God and in the Holy Ghost and in the Almighty. In the Almighty, you have arrived at depth unknown. We shall qualify that. So knowledge increases. Praise God. And knowledge is the fundamental attribute of a believer. You must desire knowledge and you must seek it. You must desire knowledge and you must seek it. Because there's one thing of, I want to know God more. I want to grow. I want to do it right. You're just desiring, desiring, desiring. If that desire does not push you to go and seek or do something tangible about it, you will just be there in your desire. So knowledge, your desire must go beyond knowledge and seeking it. Remember on Saturday, on Wednesday, where we were saying, when you are praying the Pauline prayers for knowledge, you don't just pray it in a vacuum. And you're saying, oh, that the eyes of my understanding be enlightened. And then you just pray, pray, pray. You don't open your Bible to read. You are praying that the eyes of your understanding be enlightened. That is what makes people's enlightenment enters into the Milky Way, and they just keep going. When you are praying that prayer, you pray it how? Studying. So you don't just desire. Oh, I want to grow. Oh, Lord, I want to know you more. And you're not doing anything active about it. So you must desire knowledge, and you must seek it. Praise God. All right, so the believer must grow to know who he is. He must grow to know what he has. He must grow to know whose he is. That means he must grow to know which person, who do you belong to? Of course, all our normal scriptures we read, we are going to read them again. Ephesians chapter 1:15-19. Ephesians 1. I'm sure by now we should be able to quote this thing in church. Just be quoting it. But you must still open it to open and read it by yourself. Ephesians 1:15. Are we there? Wherefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power to us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world but also in that which is to come. And had put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. So you see Paul's prayer and see the progression. He said, after I heard of your faith in Christ, after I heard that you received Christ, I started praying for you. That's what you will understand. Your knowledge will increase. You will know what you have, you will know what is the hope of his calling. He itemized it there. What is what Christ actually has done for you, and the magnitude of when we say Christ is seated, the fact that all dominion is his, is a lot of things to comprehend. So Paul said, immediately I heard that you were born again. What was the next thing I started doing? So the believer that gets born again must instantly start trying to know what exactly happened to me. What do I have? Who am I? What is my identity? I'm saying it now, so also when you get men saved, you don't just get up here and say, our church today was fruitful, we got 5 men saved, and we got them filled. Okay? What happened? I am assuming that if they were saved, if you got them saved, it means that they were not attending churches before, or I don't know. I'm just assuming. So, you just get them saved, and then that's the report, and bye-bye. There is no follow-up. There is no, okay, what are you knowing? That is a very callous approach to evangelism. So we get men saved and to get them to come to the knowledge of the truth. Okay, Ephesians 4. That's in Ephesians. Just flip to chapter 4. Uh, We'll start reading from verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Let's take 13 together. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Praise God. Okay, let's read 1 Peter 3:18 before I start. I just say everything once. 1 Peter 3, verse 18. Are we there? You ready to open your Bible? It's a sign that you are growing spiritually. Open it. Open. Just be opening. Yeah? It's a sign. Hallelujah. It's a sign to me that you are growing spiritually. Okay. 1 Peter. Oh, no, sorry. All of you. 2 Peter 3:18. Okay, thank you. 2 Peter 3:18. But grow in grace and in what? Are we there? 1 Peter 3:18. Let's read it together. But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. So, you see, when the apostles tell you grow in knowledge, they were quick to qualify that knowledge in Christ. That knowledge is the knowledge of Christ. Knowledge of Christ. So you don't just say, we are supposed to increase in knowledge, and then you are just seeking to know everything. What happens, what is happening at the right hand of God now? What is the angel, who is the angel that is sent to minister to Brother O.C.? What did the angel tell him yesterday? How high are angels' legs? In fact, what do they wear? What is their strength? They say they excel in strength. Let us measure the kilo. How do you measure strength? Kilo tinsha of strength. This is the energy that an angel will consume in flying from point A to point B. Okay, they don't fly, they disappear and appear. Okay, how exactly do they do it? That is not the knowledge you are asked to go and be seeking for. Praise God. Knowledge in who? In who? So anybody that tells you that my own knowledge, I'm getting it directly from the galaxies. This knowledge I have, once I dispense it to you, in fact, you cannot even understand it because it's too wonderful. In fact, God tells us the knowledge grade by grade. You have to come up to a particular level. Then these are the things they will give you. Then when you now come up to the other level, you now get another spoon. Then you get another, if at my level now, if I give you what I have, it will be a sin. You have progressed beyond the knowledge of Christ. And who did not ask you? Who revealed it to you? It is the Holy Spirit. It is a big lie. What did Jesus say? He said the Spirit will glorify who? He will glorify who? He will speak concerning who? He will show you of me. He will take of me and reveal to you. So the Holy Spirit cannot reveal anything beyond Christ. Anybody that is saying he has a revelation that diminishes who Christ is, just know once that person you are speaking from, the devil. No, it's the devil. It's the real devil. That is how you know the devil. Once you just start trying to diminish who Christ is and say Christ is just one small boy that God just sent on one errand. Oh, Christ is not. How can you say Christ is the fullness of who God's knowledge is? Would you know God? Christ. We did his part, so we appreciate him. You are not different from a Muslim. Praise God. So be careful. Once you just hear it, that in revelation, one revelation just came and said, I have known things that goes beyond the sacrifice of Christ immediately. Because the Bible says that every spirit that testifies that Jesus is not the Christ or that Jesus, anything that tries to diminish the value of what Christ did is the Antichrist. Praise God. So just look at you and say, you are the Antichrist that we have been expecting. Praise God. That's how you know it. So all the knowledge must be where? In Christ. We have a boundary. We have strict parameters. That was what we discussed, part of what we discussed on Wednesday. All your knowledge in this circle. So as you are knowledgeable and you are seeking the knowledge, praise God, and you are growing in the knowledge, please do not say anything that we cannot find here. Hallelujah. I know you know more than Paul. After all, Paul said, we know in part, have you? You have used that to say that Paul only knew small things about Christ. That is just what the mystery that was revealed to him. That's why you, your own God, has revealed all that mystery to you. Whatever is revealing, ensure it is here and it is found who? In Christ. Praise God. All right, so the believer must grow in knowledge, and not just any knowledge, it must be the knowledge
of Christ. That is who we are to grow up into. Okay, another proof that someone is growing is that the person is stable in the world. The person finds stability in the world. The person finds pleasure and satisfaction in the world. When you see a person that is not stable, that is the person that has itchy ears. That is the person that is seeking to know more. You know the funny thing? It's just funny that a person that thinks he has progressed beyond the word, that is on now. Maybe there's another book after Revelation. If it was possible, I'm sure he maybe even writes his own Bible for his members in church and say, see, this one is the addition that God forgot to give them. He now revealed it to me now, especially. So I printed it and give you as our own Bible here. If the person that does that and you say, as I was praying this morning, my eyes were opened and I saw the Lord seated high and mighty. And I saw God himself hovering above Christ. And then I saw another person even hovering above God. And then there I was with that person that was hovering above God. And the person said, come up hither. Let me show you things that are to come. And then I went up hither. And then I was seeing. And I saw and I saw and I saw. Oh, I saw. And as I was seeing and seeing, in fact, I was just changing as I was seeing it. And as the person is saying it, the person feels like he has entered another realm, Abi. He's higher than you. But the funny thing is that is the person that is a babe. That's the person that is a child. That is the person that has not grown. A person that will not be stable and find, remember we did a series, Why We Teach, and we say we must be happy to stay within the confines of the word. We must teach what we have learned. Once you start trying to say, I know more, what did that scripture say? I am more intelligent than my teachers. I mean, it's not that sounds. I am more legible than all my teachers. So I am taught by the by the galaxy. So, and then you are just feeling like you are spiritual. My revelation is not from here. When I'm talking, you should not be talking. You see, I and the Lord drank tea yesterday morning. In fact, in the evening, we strolled out to ShopRite. The Lord said, follow me, and I will show you things in ShopRite. And then as I entered into ShopRite, I just entered, and then he said, take up this basket, and I took it. And as I was just walking, I just saw the basket was just filling. Glory to God. I wasn't picking anything from the aisle. God does my shopping for me. So he picks things, and I did not even know I needed those things. He just picked it. And by the time I got to the cashier, I was wondering, how am I going to pay? And immediately they saw me coming from afar. They just said, please make way for him. Your bills have been paid. And then I was like, wow, what happened? They said somebody came in white and paid your bills even before you got here. And then I carried my cart. In fact, I did not even need to carries. As I was going, the cars were just being rolled behind me. For angels do my shopping. Glory to God. I need not to lift anything in my house. I just go to the house and I saw that the angels have already washed my plates. And my clothes have been washed and dry cleaned and folded on my clothes. And in fact, as I got into the bathroom, I did not even need to bathe myself because the angels have just even bathed me already. Because in Christ, I'm clean. God has washed me clean. I need not bathe anymore. And so there was this magnified, there's this glory all around me. And you even if I'm smelling, you will know because I am grown in Christ. Glory to God. You see, as I was saying it, the evil Kevin was just mesmerized. I was like, wow. Please come and so see. That's the last way I will conclude it. So, brethren, the realm I've entered into, for you to step into it, you know I'm a special favored and chosen one of God. I am, in fact, God himself poured oil on my head. And the oil was not this Goya you use. No, it was the fresh oil that they do in heaven. I saw where they did it. It was the olive prayer. It just came. Glory to God. And it was just pouring without measure. Because the Bible says that the God is not giving a spirit according to measure. And it was just pouring. And there was no end. In fact, even right now, if I close my eyes, I can see the oil still pouring all over me. So, brethren, come and sow seed. Glory to God. And touch my shoes. You know, as I was saying this, that even some people were really happy. Like, wow. Eloquency of speech. I was just flowing. Oh, glory to God. You know? That person comes and then you're just sitting in your seat and like, wow. When will I get to this level? God must love this man. And me, I'm still lying. I cannot. I don't know when I will get there. No. This man has gone beyond me. That man is a who? He's a babe. He knows nothing. I wasn't the one that said it to. Okay. Open Bible. You think I'm joking? All right. 1 Timothy 6. So you don't think that I was just talking. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Verse 3. Are we there? First Timothy 6, from verse 3. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness, he is what? He is what? And does what? He knows nothing, but doting about questions and strifes of words, whereof cometh envy, strife, railings, even surmises, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness. From such, do what? So when you see someone just talking like this, why will I be confining myself to the words of Jesus? No. I've gone beyond that. You know nothing. You think you know something? You know nothing. That's what my dad used to say. That was his favorite word when we were growing up. When we were just forming up and we were forming like we were speaking English around him. You think you know something? You know nothing. Of course, it was trying to tell us that even if we are graduates and he only got to a particular stage of his education, but he knows more than us. So that's what he used to tell us. When we come and start forming English, you think you know something. You know nothing. You know nothing. Emphasis. So that's what that person knows. He knows nothing. He's just stupid. He's corrupt of mind. He's just proud. He's just trying to... Things that will cause envy, strife. That's all. From such, just carry your Bible, and run. Go to the children's department and pick your unborn child and run away. Praise God. So what is our proof that the scripture actually has more substance than revelations of men? Even though no matter how lofty those revelations might sound, 1 Peter, see how the apostles constrained themselves. Sorry, 2 Peter 1. Peter 1, verse 15. Are we there? But let's start from verse 14. Knowing that shortly I must put off this my tabernacle, even as our Lord Jesus Christ had showed me. You see how Peter was talking about, I might depart from the flesh soon. I would die physically soon. Jesus has shown me. And then you're like, wow. So Jesus has shown you that you are going to die very soon. You're a man of God. Like some persons already know the day they will die, the cloth they will be wearing, and the particular whatever they will eat that day. Praise God. So you just say, those are men of God. So Peter already said that Jesus has shown me that very soon I will depart. But verse 15, moreover, I will endeavor that you may be able, after my disease, to have these things always in remembrance. For we have not followed cunningly devised fables when we made known unto you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but we are witnesses of his majesty. For we received from God the Father honor and glory when there came such a voice to him from the excellent glory. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Well, what was Peter referring to? Remember that story? So Peter was with Jesus, James and John on the mountain, and they saw so much glory. Even Peter became, not know what he was saying again. And he was like, let's just stay here and build tabernacle. So Peter was trying to tell you that he has seen things. Praise God. Okay, verse 18. And this voice which came from heaven, we heard when we were with him in the holy mount. Now let's read verse 19 together. We have also a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto you do well that you take heed, as unto a light that shineth in the dark place, until the day dawns and the day star rise in our heart. So that you not think that what is this prophecy was talking about. See verse 20. Knowing this first, that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation. For the prophecy came not in old time by the will of man, but holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So this is Peter. What vision can be grander than seeing the heaven open, seeing Elijah appear and Moses and discussing, and you are just looking, and even God himself spoke, and like, wow, white, Jesus was changed in white from head to toe. That was a lofty vision. And Peter was saying, see, these things we are telling you, we have seen it with our eyes. He now said, but even though we have seen these things, we have a more sure word of what? Prophecy, which you should hold and take heed to. And to tell you what he was talking about, he said the prophecy of the scriptures. came not by the will of man. So even no matter what we see, that is not what we anchor our hope on. Because visions can lie. You know, you don't know. Be hungry and dream now and see what you dream about. Or desire something before you dream and go and watch out your dream. Or just think of something. I fear men that pray without reading, studying word. I used to fear them. Because prayers opens your eyes up and makes you more attuned to the supernatural if you pray a lot, especially at night. And then your eyes just open to see visions. And because you don't study, you don't know the parameters with which to base these things. Angels, demon, everybody, you are just seeing. You cannot effectively discern. You just receive. You are just receiving. And then woe betide you if you decide to choose that. Because, of course, the vision looks real. Imagine if this was, as I'm here now, suddenly the wall opens and then somebody stands white talking to you. It's not real. It's realer to you than what you are reading here now. So there's a temptation to just hold on to that thing and say, I've seen, in fact, you have not seen it. Imagine if our assurance of the word or our assurance of God was based on visions. There's some of us have never seen visions since we were born. What would that be our hope? Do you understand? There's some persons that will just be seeing, whether they pray, they don't pray, their eyes are just seeing visions like boo, boo, boo. In fact, I used to get scared of my husband, I used to be angry. Imagine if everybody was like that, and then all some of us that we need to pray and keep praying to see something, even in a dream, just small. I would not even say I want to see God. Just show me angel. if that was your own reality, what hope have you? You no hope. So be glad with the word that you have. Don't let anybody come and bamboozle you with the fact that they saw things. You saw things, glory to you. Why? I see what you saw. I saw that only two persons will make every liar. Why? Come on, keep quiet. It was, I say, keep quiet. What gives you that boldness? The word. Even if as the person was talking to you, you just changed to white. Slap the person and the whiteness away. How dare you? Change to black immediately. Come on, make us feel like we are far from God because you are seeing one vision. Be careful. God, visions are good. That we can see into the supernatural and rebel. We have a more sure word of prophecy and we hold on to that and we judge everything with that. So don't come out, don't just even try to see visions is good. Praise God. Hallelujah. So that is why it is the boundary. Anybody that chooses to ignore our boundary in Christ is a babe. He knows nothing. So don't think you can come tomorrow and tell us that I'm now seeing into the future and the past and the ultimate goal. And there you know, it is not a proof of maturity at all. It is good if substanted. And in fact, visions need to be explained. You know that, right? You don't take it literal. That's why today people are cost breaking their heads over revelation. You cannot go and take a beast of seven heads and seven horns and this one and you now run away from and be having bad dreams at night. They are not explained, you will just run away with. In fact, my pastor, where in Ibadan, he has this rule he likes to give. If you see a vision, he will tell you, okay, what is the interpretation? Because he believes it is you that saw the vision that would have the proper interpretation. Because you know, there are some things you can relate with better, there are some things that will make meaning to you that will not make meaning to me. So if something is shown to you in that particular picture, you will understand it better than me that has no idea of how your mind works and I'm trying to come and interpret your vision. So vision is not a statutory thing that says, okay, I've seen a vision. Oh, ye men, yeah. We have a more sure word. So a proof that somebody is growing in Christ is that the person is stable in the word. The person does not substitute the word of Christ for visions and it does not allow revelations outside the world to override it. Why? 1 Corinthians 4 verse 6. 1 Corinthians chapter 4 verse 6. Okay, are we there? And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sake, that you might learn in us not to think of men above that which is written, that no one of you be puffed up one for another. How many of us have KJV? We have KJV. All right, let's read again. And these things, brethren, I have in a figure transferred to myself and to Apollos for your sake, that you might learn in us not to think. You see that of men italicized. You see it? So just imagine not to think above that which is written. Do you understand? So it goes both ways. Not to think of men above that which is written. And you too, not to think above what is written. So don't imagine. Don't start stretching beyond the imagine. Oh, you want to know how I did that realm, that is, you just want to go into the realm. Deep, call it onto deep. And then as you just go, you know, the Bible says in the book of Ezekiel, and Ezekiel stepped into the water, and the water was at his ankle level. And then it got to a point, the water was at his knee level. We got Rema from there now. Oh, some of you are in the ankle level. Yeah, in the ankle level. And then it got to a point where the water was at his waist level. And then in that guy, where the water overflowed him, and then it overshadowed him. So some of you are still in the ankle level. Some of you are still in the knee level. Some of you are still in the waist level. Some of you are just still here. But soon you will get to the point where the water will overshadow you, and then you'll not be able to swim anymore. And then the water will not be the one carrying you. You see that revelation we are getting there? Glory. God bless you. But do not think, in all your dipping going, please go and be baptized. But ensure it does not go above what is what? Written. So Paul said it here. Clearly, he said, I've transferred this in a figure, not to think above what is written. So don't esteem men, no matter how big the man of God is. I don't want to say the most man of God. I don't know which language is that. The man of God you respect the most. That you can say, this is the man of God in whom there is no guy. I just imagine that person in your head, and then now the person comes to you tomorrow and starts giving you visions from the galaxy and the Milky Way, and then you're already bamboozled. You know, first of all, in your mind, you'll be like, but this person, you know, because of the person saying it, you're having a double thing, checking again your mind. Are you sure there's no exception? But this man has walked with God. In fact, it's like Enoch. He walked with God and he was not. For God took him. Because he was. You know when you see that thing written of Enoch, you felt Enoch was in heaven. Only for Jesus to say, nobody's there. Nobody has seen God. Like, what do you mean? Where did Enoch, our man of God, go to? I'm digressing too much. Do not think of anybody, and you too don't think above what is written. The scriptures are ultimate. All right, 3. How do we know someone that is growing spiritually? Philippians, one of my favorite Pauline prayers. Philippians chapter 1 from verse 9. How do we know someone that is growing spiritually? The person approves the things that are excellent. Philippians 1, are we there? From verse 9, let's go. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that you may approve things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense to the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ, unto the glory and praise of God. You know, knowledge is that you know things, Abby. Now, see, Paul saying your love will abound in knowledge and in all other translations say judgment, others say discernment. So you can, why do you need to be able to discern? So you can be able to judge. So you can prove the things that are excellent. Because there is a way you will be able to know, you know what Pastor calls HSN? You know what? I sounding nonsense. You'll be able to distinguish it, no matter how intelligently it is disguised. You're like, You know, you've not seen people speak English, oh. They will speak English for you. Even you will like, that thing has to be in the world. Come on. See the person that, for example, how many of you watched the video of the Milky Way? You watched that video? I said Jesus was a tithe. How was the man's English? How did you check his English? How did you check his dressing? Even our pastor doesn't dress. See the dressing. See the shoes. See the handkerchief in his breast pocket. See the beards. White, the only this part. Everything is dark here. And then he just going, Petrin, I show you a mystery. I can't forget his voice, that baritone voice. God created the God created the universe, and he took a charge. You know the way he called it. Not all of you that pronounce it tight as tight. Time. He took a charge. Oh my God. God created the galaxy, he took a charge. The Milky Way. God created the Milky Way and took a charge. Earth. God created the earth and took a charge. Israel. God created Israel and took a tithe. Jerusalem. God created Jerusalem and took a tithe. The Levites. God created the Levites and took a tithe. The priest. God created the priest and took a tithe. The ark. God created the ark and took a tithe. What's the tithe of the ark? And then that could have progressed. I said, God created the world again. I took a tithe to Jesus. Okay, praise God. So you see all those plenty tithes taking there. So, and I saw people in the congregation, like, yeah. I showed you a mystery. But it sounded so intelligent. It sounded so wise. But then you never wonder, but I thought that it was 10%. Okay, no. You now correct yourself in your mind. God is not a respecter of person. You know, God does not think as men do. So if for men, tithe is 10%, for God, is there anything Jesus to call tithe? Hallelujah. Because there cannot be 10 other Jesuses now. That would have to, 10 Jesus in heaven. God now took one. You come as a tithe. Glory to God. Anyway, so the proof, if you heard that and you did not laugh, eh? I'm not joking, though. If you heard that thing now, as the man was saying the thing, and you did not laugh or weep for him, you were rather mesmerized. I was like, wow, really? Yeah. Are you serious? So that is how everything in this world is a tithe, even my brain. If you did not think that way, it means that you too, you are what? They've carried you away. So you must be able to discern between truth and half-truth. Because that's the hardest thing to, because some things will look like truth. They sound like it now. They sound, because if somebody just come and tell you all outrightly that Jesus did not die, like, keep quiet. If anybody, even my daughter can tell you, Jesus, who died for your sin? Jesus, according to what they said, I don't know. They said they taught them in school and I'm still seeing the, anyway, let me leave now. They told them, who died for your sin? Jesus. So if who died in KG, they know. So you don't come and tell them that Jesus did not die for your sin, they can say no. But how do you know when somebody now comes to tell you that, actually what happened in, I know the Holy Spirit is a woman, or the Holy Spirit is the father of Jesus. Why? Because the Bible says that Mary was conceived of the Holy Ghost. So, the Holy Ghost fathered Jesus. That must be right. After all, it's in the Bible. Because Mary said, how shall these things be? And he said, the Spirit of the Lord shall overshadow you. So when it overshadowed her, so that was how he now gave birth to Jesus. So the Holy Spirit is the father. That's why Jesus is, Mary is the mother, be. And it was a reputable man of God that said that. And I watched it with my two eyes on TV. And that was the day I gave up fully on TBN. Big man of God that I listened to his messages. He said it. The Holy Spirit is the father of Jesus. Yeah! I feel like you don't understand properly. I said, let me give him the benefit of a doubt. On this day, I explain why. Because the Bible says that you shall be overshadowed by the... You're not different from a Catholic that said Mary is the mother. So now they know mother. They've been looking for father. You have finally revealed to them who the father is. Please. You must be able to distinguish. Even if the person is coming and speaking in the fine... So that is how you know that you are growing. When you can sit down and discern and say, this is it, this is not it. So, Philippians 1, what did he say again? That your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all discernment, so you can approve the things that are excellent. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, from verse 13. See, we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. Let's read 14 together. That we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. You see the sign of children? See, this is the generation of wealth transfer. The wealth of the Gentiles is coming to us. You're writing. The wealth is, how will the wealth be transferred? Ah, Dangote will just die now. Before he dies, 5 minutes to why? He will just will his will to me. It's, even the spirit will not understand. He will just write a will. This is my last will and testament. All my wealth goes to... Sorry, what's your name? You don't want to get the body. See you. Daniel. Daniel. You just like, pa! Daniel, pull. And then everybody say, that's what you are holding on to. That Dangote will transfer all his money to you. The wealth of the Gentiles are coming to me. Ha! Glory! And then that you have gone there. After waiting for 5 years, the wealth is not coming. You see that you're already broke and you want to marry. The wealth is still not coming. It's okay. Maybe this one is saying, if I tithe, I will be prosperous. So you go, when you tithe and sow your seed, if you want a child, no, if you want a car, I don't have car to sew now. We start from small. If you want a cloth, sew a handkerchief. If you want a shoe, sew a shoelace. Then all, but now later everyone now upgraded it to money because God responds. It is what you give, you get. God, be not deceived, brethren. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, thou shall he also reap. If you know you don't have the car to sow now, make a pledge and say, when I buy my car, I'm going to give a percentage of this as a representation of the car. All things, brethren, show me money. Oh, don't you like money? I like money. Show me the money, man. And then he said, okay. You know, I did not give example. Look at this brother here. When he came to this church, he had nothing. Nothing. He was broke, bruised, and battered. But when he came to the church and saw how we live and saw our lifestyle and saw our money, you know that poverty cannot survive around us. So look at me. Poverty dies around me. It can't stand close to me. I'm a child of the Almighty God. So he keyed into the anointing. And then he said, Pastor, what do I need to do to receive this? And I told him, brother, what do you have in your hand? And he said, all I have is this 200,000 that my father gave me to start a business. Brother, do for me first. Remember that widow that Elijah made? He said, make for me first. And when the widow made for Elijah, the woman never ran out of food. For the 3 years of the famine, she had food. So I told him, sow for me first. And then he gave me the money. He sold it into the church. No, you don't say he gave me the money. He sold it in church and sold it to the Lord. Ask him where he is now. You saw the car he brought in? You saw the car he brought in? He came with a Range Rover Sport Evoque convertible, color white, 2017 model. The one parked in his house is a Land Rover, 2019 model. In fact, he has already booked for which Mercedes-Benz X-Class, C-Class, and Red-Class, that white, that is yet to be made. They are going to make only 4 of it in the world, and he's one of them. Just from sowing 200,000 naira, his life has changed. So, brother, what do you have in your hand? Sow it. And then you start sowing, and you are sowing, and sowing. But this message will preach fits me. I can make money with this gospel. See the way I'm flowing. I'm just flowing like this. So the guy sews and sews. After sewing everything, he doesn't even have shoe to wear anymore. He has sewed his shoe, his everything. He saw that it was no longer facing him. Then they start telling him, brother, you know it's not when you sow, you reap. There's time. But he has been patient, he's not getting it. And then somebody else preaches to him. His village people. See, this thing here is not physical. The weapon of our warfare, not carnal. The Almighty true God to pull down strongholds. See, if you are not making it in life, check it. There is something in your ancestral line. Come, I will deliver you. And then it goes there. Pah! What's happening here? Brother, when you were 5 years old, can you remember something that your father was shouting on your mother? Yes, I remember. Your mother was crying. Yes, I remember. That day, let me tell you what was happening. I can see in the realm of the spirit. That day, your mother went to bury your umbilical cord that she has been preserving. And your father said no. And then your mother said no, she has to bury that. A prophet told her, and your father said no. And he burns the umbilical cord instead of burying it as he should. And now, brother, that's how you are suffering. Your destiny was burnt with that cord. So, to revive your destiny, you have to do 21 days fasting and prayer. Then we have to call on all the angels and do again deliverance. That umbilical cord will be resurrected. Praise God. Do you believe in that? Then you now start 21 day fasting. Holy Ghost fire. When you have finished that one, nothing is happening. Where is Willie Ronto now? What's his name? is sin. Ah, that one, there's no hope for that one. Oh, okay. Oh, you say, okay, it's your lifestyle. So you now go to the holiness church. And then you go there like, ah, brother, see, when you have to let your life reflect that you are born again. And so you now start wearing only one trouser. You don't even smile. You don't greet people anymore. You're just, after 10 years of going around the circle, you just say, oh Lord, take my life. Or I'm just going to be a Muslim. See? There's no God. That's the conclusion. So when you see somebody going like this, going here, running to and fro, assisting the devil in his work, do you looking for who to be part of? Just know that that one has not what? Grown. He's still carried away by doctrines. And see how the Bible put it, say the sleight of men, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. It's really, it's painful that people actually are lying in wait to deceive. How they are conniving. How do we manipulate people's minds? So you see all the prophetic thing. Some persons will go and research into your background. And then research. Even through Facebook, WhatsApp, status, everything. They now download their own, your history in their head. And you come and they are giving you history. And you say, ah, the word of knowledge. So men are actually lying in wait to deceive. It's sad. But that's the reality. But a child is the one that will be carried away. How do you know someone that is growing spiritually? He is stable. He's not carried away by every doctrine. That this one is the reigning doctrine. Ah! This is the thing that we did not know before. Like this, our popular example of sin is dead. Glory to God. It was not revealed to us before, but now, brethren, I show you a great mystery. Sin is dead. And then you say, explain. You say, ah! When Jesus died, the Bible says that he's the Lamb of God that took away our sins. And when he died, he took his sins to hell, right? Yes. When he resurrected, did he resurrect with sin? No. Where is your sin left in hell? So what happened to your sin? Sin is dead. So you see, sin is dead. So right now there's no sin. There's nothing called lying, or they are just, what do they call that thing again? I don't even know. You know, fornication is not a sin. You can marry as many wives as you want. This is just, it is a progression of knowledge. Because there's no way you will not hear new doctrine. There's no way. It will keep coming out every month, every 2 weeks. All I need to do is just to ask, what is raining on Facebook now? And then you just hear this one. Okay, new set have arrived. After 2 months, those people will rain. Another people will come again with their own, Abby. It's like that. It will always keep coming. And the annoying thing is that even with that sin is dead, they carried away people. Abby, as every wave coming, is sweeping with it his own. Another wave comes, he carries his own. Another wave comes, he carries his own. So a child is the one that is just being carried away. Carried away. Spoils of war. Praise God. That happens when you're not comfortable with what you've learned, when you're not comfortable with the scripture. So how do you know a child is the one that is carried away by every wind of doctrine? But a believer that is growing up spiritually, that is sound enough, will be able to discern. This is correct. This is not. Praise God. So you see why we need to grow up spiritually. All right. So another thing. We are going to the ones people will not like. Praise God. Another way you know someone that is growing up spiritually is that the person embraces ministry. He embraces it. As in, not the way to embrace people. You can ask Mimi for a hug after service. Take a hug. He embraces it. Ministry. Praise God. So once you see somebody that is saying, ah, brother, I am called to the, what did they call that? I'm called to the public place. I mean, how did they call that? My ministry is to, there's a particular way they particular way they put those things, like, the you know, those things. I'm called there. What is the calling? It's not as if you are going to the house of all the senators one by one to preach you. No. It's that you are called to be a senator. You're a politician as well. And so you will show an example of how, by when you are a senator, how Christ would have been a senator. So that is your own ministry. Yeah. Tell me more. All the ones that will say, ah, brethren, I can't be going up and down preaching the gospel. That is not for me. That's okay. I am sent to the office place. So I will walk. I will sit down in the office. I will go to the position of the CEO. I will fund the gospel when I have money. My money will go for me. So we cannot all just be going to the streets. No. These days of technology, we just put out money. And the money spreads the word. Praise God. When you hear anybody talking like that, why you just say, okay, this word is a what? A babe. Once you are not ready to take up ministry, like embrace it, like you are eager, once you start hearing things like, ah, ministry is not for me, or I've not reached that level, or I am not part of the pastor, or I cannot do this yet, it's okay. This one still needs to grow. How do you know someone that is growing? Even with the small knowledge he has, he wants to do what he should. Praise God. Ministry is what we have all received. Matthew 28. Let's remind ourselves again of all these scriptures. Matthew 28. Okay. It should be verse 18. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. And in case you read this for them, and they say, ah, Jesus was talking only to the disciples. He was talking only to those 12 apostles. Are you one of them? Yeah. Okay. All right. 2 Corinthians 5. Oh, you've not heard people say that. That thing Jesus was saying, he was talking to the apostles. 2 Corinthians 5, verse 17. Therefore, if any man, at least there's no apostle name written here, Abby. He said any man. If any man be in Christ, is a new creature. All things are passed away. Behold, all things have become new. And all things are of God, who had reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ, and has given unto who? So we that God was in Christ, reconciling the world. So you see, who has received ministry? Or was ministry given to? Who was ministry given to? Okay, Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 11. Are we there? I have to see to Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers. Verse 12, everybody. So you see why the ministry gifts have been placed in the body? For the edifying of the saints. So they can do what? So somebody that just say, I am learning, ever learning, not able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Of course, that does not apply to you as a believer. You can come to the knowledge of the truth. But you just said, I'm still growing. I've not learned. What do I do? Ministry is still for the... Okay, this one has really not grown. Once you are supposed to grow, your knowledge takes the point where you know that ministry is yours. You embrace ministry. You seek to do it. They say, come for evangelism. You are here. Come for this one. Let's do follow-up. You are here. Because you take it as your own responsibility that this is what I'm supposed to do. If you are still giving excuses of work, excuses of this thing, okay, work, of course, once in a while, but every one year, all your excuses was work. There was no day you were part of the saints in evangelism. 1 year, brother, that work shall work for you. Praise the Lord. When you get to heaven and we are all giving reward, you say, Father, I was working. Did you not see my labor? I worked. Continue. A believer must embrace ministry. So as you are giving us excuses up and down, I won't quarrel. I'll just know that, okay, this one has not what. Because you give excuse today, we hear. Next week, we hear. 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. You don't want to do it. Because even in the midst of work, you have found time for almost every other thing. Praise God. So you must see ministry as yours. You must get involved. You must get involved in edifying one another, edifying of the body in love. You say, okay, let us edify ourselves in tongues and interpretation, and all you want to do is to receive. Oh, brother, speak to me. Speak to me. Speak. After you finish speaking, you say, oh, thank you. God bless you, sir. And you go. You will not edify the other person because your own is just to receive. Know that you are not what? Growing. Am I harsh? Praise God. All right, so another way we see someone that is growing is that the person takes up responsibility. Even for among humans, it will be funny. Like, I remember the way I come to church and I don't come with kids, and Sister Christine's eyes will be like, who did you leave the children for? And I left them with themselves. I left them with angels. I left Ife and Wemi. Ife, take care of Wemi. And it sounds absurd, Abi, because imagine telling a 2.5-year-old child to take care of the 1-year-old child. Okay, they will take care of themselves. In taking care, they shall take care. Why would you say it as absurd? Because you know this one has not grown to be, even be responsible for himself, not talk of another person. So until you even embrace ministry as your own, you cannot see the need of others. Until you know that your brother's growth is also your own responsibility, it means you are not grown enough to take responsibility. You are still saying, please be feeding me. Continue feeding me. Just be feeding me. You're not ready to feed anybody else. Discipleship. Teaching men is the continuity of the gospel. Without it, the gospel will just go into extinction. See Matthew 28, we read, going on to what teaching on, in fact, on that translation, we say, make disciples of men. You are to teach them, teach them, teach. So if nobody is teaching anybody anything, and even the worst one they are teaching you, you are angry. Are you saying that you're the only one that knows Bible? Who told you that what pastor was saying I did not understand? Just to come and say, our service today, what, like, can we compare notes? You are angry. We know who you are. We can judge. I say, okay, this is your level. You are the uncle level. Praise God. Uncle. Ah, okay. 2 Timothy 2:2. 2 Timothy. I love the pastoral letters. Reading it often and reminding ourselves of these things. 2 Timothy 2 from verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus, and the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. So, see the proof of your faithfulness. The fact that you are what? Teaching others. Teaching others, teaching others. Because if we all come and all we are doing is just to gather, you are just only one year, all you are doing is to come to church and hear word. 2 years, you to come to God, you know, we all be stagnant here. The continuity and the expansion of the gospel is dependent on the fact that men come to church, they are edified for the work of ministry. They themselves take up responsibilities, they also do things and evolve into ministry gifts that will also equip others. That's why it's a continuous cycle. So you must see yourself as an active part of it. Not that we are the ones to just be receiving. All men must be able to teach others also. Praise God. All right, so we know someone that is growing from the fact that the person takes responsibility for other believers and is involved also in the spiritual group. You know, Pastor gave us an assignment. Have a WhatsApp group, Abi. Rejoice, you have a WhatsApp group? No. Julie, do you have a WhatsApp group? No. Ojut is waiting for me to ask you. I will not ask you. Brother, do you have a WhatsApp group? No. Okay. The other said that. Mr. Christy, do you have a WhatsApp group? Your phone does not do WhatsApp. You know what? Brother OC, do you have a WhatsApp group? There. Hey, now you are here on Sunday now. Brother OC, you don't have your WhatsApp group. Let me say it to that pastor. Brother OC, you don't have your WhatsApp group. Brother Moses, do you have a WhatsApp group? No. Sister Bookie, do you have a WhatsApp group? Please, do you have a WhatsApp group? Yeah, waiting for me to just call you. Let me ask you. I do. So that was the basis of that. We are to teach others, Abi. What was the basis of the WhatsApp group? To have a group where you are teaching, actively involved in teaching at least 3 persons. It is to ensure that the gospel continues. Take up responsibility. If you don't have your WhatsApp group, we know your level. We know where you are. You are at the ankle. In fact, you are not even yet in the water. Praise God. Okay, don't worry. I'll cancel that part. You are in Christ, so you are already in the water. Hallelujah. Okay, so another, let's just, time has gone. Okay. The last example I will give of how we'll know someone that is growing is that the person is an example in Christian character. I wish that woman was here to hear me say this. Character matters. Brethren, character matters. And I'm saying this with all sincerity and honesty. Character does what? You don't want to say it because you're already sanctified and clean in Christ. Character does what? Please say my character matters. Because you don't want to agree. It's a confession. Say my character matters. Praise God. Be an example of the believer. It's an instruction we have. Abi, you are an example of the believer. Okay, let's read them. We are still in 1 Timothy, so let's just read that. 1 Timothy 4, verse 12. 1 Timothy 4, 12. Are we there? Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example of the believer in word, in conversation, in charity, in spirit, in faith, in purity. Praise God. I know Christ died for you and you are sanctified and saved forever. But if I hear a report, that is to say that. I said it once in one when we were still at Argos. If somebody comes to say, this your member impregnated a girl. Ha! Glory to God. In Christ, we will do the cleansing. Even in Christ. Praise the Lord. We will baptize you again, your reality. So don't tell me that character is not matter. No, you must be an example of the believer. Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4. You must manifest who you have been made. You have been cleansed. You have been cleaned. You are holy. This is who God calls you. So therefore, you must walk as children of light and be an example of a believer. This is a long read. Okay. Ephesians 4, verse 17. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that he henceforth walk not as other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind, having the understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God through the ignorance that is in them because of the blindness of their hearts. You are not supposed to be. There should be a distinction, physical difference between you and the unbeliever. It's not that you just say, look only at my spirit. We know, but we also want to see physical difference. Praise the Lord. Because somebody that is not allowing the life he has to reflect in his external character and behavior, know that that person is someone that is refusing the training of the spirit. He has not grown. He has not grown. He has not grown. The fact that we say, the Bible says that you, God already sees you perfect, sanctified, holy, complete in Christ. Men are not God. They don't see nothing. They can't see the spirit. You are to manifest the spirit. You see, when you manifest the gifts, you also manifest what? The fruits. So that men can see it as a proof that, yes, this one has the spirit of God. At least if you say the way people know that somebody is born again, that the person raises the dead. If you have not raised the dead, at least walk in love. Praise the Lord. But that's the truth. Do you understand? They are all of the spirit. Are they not all of the spirit? You are the one seeing one as greater than the others. They are all abilities of the spirit. The ability to, the unbeliever cannot express or walk in love. You are the only one that can. Do you understand that? You know when we're doing that series, you are the only one that can. So express the love. Show gentleness, meekness, temperance, love. Show it. Be showing all the ones that you can manifest until we manifest all. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Okay, so verse 19, let's continue. Who been past feeling have been themselves over unto lasciviousness to walk all uncleanness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ. If so be that you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that he put off concerning the former conversation of the old man, which is corrupt according to deceitful lust, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Wherefore, putting away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. There are lots of things there. Be not, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. O Jude, let no corrupt communication come out of your mouth. Praise the Lord. Let your speech be sanctified, your speech, your words seasoned with salt. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Are we together? Are you following me? So that is an example of the believer. A believer that still just speaks anyhow. Anyhow. You're just talking and talking and talking and talking. The person, the unbeliever is driving on the road. The driver annoys him. He shouts, God punish you. If our devil baptize you. If our generation all but Dabaru, you not go better for you for this life. You too, you are driving. And somebody else will over there like, hey, you are an imbecile. You don't have sense. You see, as you are, in fact, you are Olori Buku. How did they call that? You know, Yorubas have serious insults. They will insult you and then you just go and just kneel down and say, Lord, take my life. There's no difference. Bedred. It ought not to be so. The person is a believer. Of course, I'm persuaded of better things concerning you, though I don't speak. Abi, or if they ask me, are you a believer? Yes. But, brother, character, let it show forth. Hallelujah. Let's not give men an opportunity to despise the gospel we carry. And that's why I'm very grateful for the fact that I'm yet to really see a brother that is, or brethren that are sound in the word, that are actually patterned after the doctrine of Christ, living anyhow. As it's just one testimony me personally have seen. All around me, the persons that are, though they say, the people are saying grace, 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 people are giving others people license to sin. That's why people are sinning anyhow. And I'm like, please come and show me an example. I'm so proud to say it anywhere. Praise God. So that's how it should be. Let no, but don't give anybody an occasion to say, you are the one that understands grace perfectly, and so you're the one that will live it to the fullest. Hallelujah. So I tell them, come and see that if you see those people, they are the ones that give themselves to the word, they're the ones that give themselves to prayer. The ones that everyone emphasizes the most. While you are busy emphasizing other things, we are emphasizing what truly matters. And at the end of the day, our reflection still is what Christ is. But brethren is in the Bible. It's also in the epistles. Abi? Uh-huh. Character. Praise God. So that's one way we know a believer that is green. Yeah, an example of Christian character. We'll not read 2 Peter 1:3, but you can write it down. We give all diligence to add to your faith, virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, meekness, all of them. Praise God. It's written, just write 2 Peter 1 from verse 3 down. Okay. All right. So let's move on now as fast as we can. We have seen what growing up spiritually is, now to really define it. Because some person's idea was before was when the person that has grown up is the person that his own life is next to God. So you see people holding the microphone and you say, these are the ones that have grown up. It's not true. Most times the persons that are even teaching are the ones that have not really even fully comprehended what they should. So they are just covering up with plenty demo and the rest. A believer and what growing up spiritually is decided for us in the scripture. All right, so we have said it already. We must grow up. Growing up, spiritual growth is not part of your inheritance in Christ. I'm sorry, I wish it was, but it's not. So we must all grow up. And popularity and fame does not translate to the fact that you have grown. So even if your name is heard all over the world, does not mean that automatically you are now spiritually grown. No. You might just be an overgrown baby. Okay, so now that we have said these things, some persons might be asking like Mary, how shall these things be? How can it be? How can it be? How can it be? Brethren, be consoled, for I come to you in the knowledge of Christ. Because an angel told me specifically and whispered to me the secrets of spiritual growth. And he said, Sister Joy, turn your Bible. My own angels refer me to the Bible. Praise God. Hallelujah. All right, so let's just look at one way. How does spiritual growth happen? Since it does not fall upon us when we are born again, it means it's something that we have to do. It is our own part to play. We are the ones that do it ourselves. Number one, be in the right local assembly. The local church is God's design. It's not me that said it. It's just the way God designed for believers to grow. It's just a pity that the local church these days, well, we are getting to where we actually fulfill our calling and our design. You know, if many of us buy appliances and electronics, and the first thing we do is to look at what? The manual, right? When my husband bought a washing machine and he just gave me the manual, take, read, do not operate this washing machine until you have read the manual. And that is my own rule. I tell everybody in my house, don't operate my, that's the one thing you don't touch. Praise God. Hallelujah. I can't touch any other thing, but don't touch that, because that needs manual. So also, if God designed the church, we are also to go and look at his own manual. Why did he design it? What was it for? And follow suit. It's not the fact that I say, people now think that church is now private ownership, and because when you register with CAC, you put your name as board of trustee, so it's your church. You cannot teach what you like. My own ministry is to the widows. My ministry is to the youth. Oh, your word is to the orphans. Ah, okay. My ministry is to persons that, in fact, I like a particular ministry. Only single ladies that are fair. If you're not fair, don't come close. Because the Bible says in Songs of Solomon that our beauty is fair. So I'm only relating what's the matter. Because you're dark, you're complaining. It's not everybody, you are free to choose your ministry. If we are all free to choose your ministry, you think I would choose my ministry, man. I would choose a ministry that my car, oh my God, you know my car. Oh glory. If we are free to choose ministries, just say, you want to open church, what would you, just imagine, just tell God, vision, my son, I've called you, I want you to open a church, what would you like to, God would be asking you, well, which angle, or which aspects would you like to touch? Then you don't choose, oh, music. Oh, I just want the body of, I don't like when I see pastors singing off key like me. You know, when pastors sing off key, it's irritating. I just want to teach the whole body of believers how to sing. Say, okay, take it, it's yours. You, what's your own? I don't like when I see ladies that can, no, you're all physical. I don't like when I see ladies that cannot dress and represent God in his glory. I want to teach men how to dress and wear functional pink shoe like So you say, okay, take it, it's yours. And then we rejoice. Rejoice. I never know rejoice ministry now. Jesus Christ. Rejoice. What will be your ministry? That is my holiness. So I don't even know. Academic excellence, I mean exam success. How to make it in your work, glory, or how to score it in jam. You come and teach us the secret to just make it jam. Pam. Then I should not even ask Sister Mimi. It's like, I don't like the dichotomy between male and female. I want all men to know that you created us equal. So let us teach the body of Christ how to ensure that, is it gender parity, you call it? Gender parity, that there's no distinction between male and female. Say, God, say, take it. Brother Joshua, I just want to teach men how to just be humble. You know, just to be humble and gentle looking. Say, take it. Brother, I won't be your own. I just want to be laughing in the Holy Ghost. Let's teach men. You don't know how to laugh in the Holy Ghost. Take it. Brother Daniel, what's your own? I have to be looking confused in church. Okay, let me just look for sure. Just imagine if we had a choice. Ross, what will your own ministry be? We will choose it, man. Don't come and have me tell you that. Ministry is not your business. Church is not your business. Because in CSC, when you are registering, they write what are your objectives. Then you don't feel you can write anything. My objective is to teach what? To raise end time billionaires. To say to be a leader, to do the leader. Okay. 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 Yeah. Church is not your own business. Ministry is not yours. It is according to God's manual. So it should be done accordingly. And what was God's purpose? Ephesians 4. What is the purpose of the church? Ephesians 4, verse 11. And he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. See, we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleights of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. But speaking the truth in love, may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplied, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. So where have God placed those men? Where has he placed them? The church, which is the body of Christ. So you have to refrain from seeing church as just a building. It is actually the body of Christ. In different areas, different geographic locations, is one body. That is why we have one purpose and one calling. If it was just church according to location and building, then of course, like the doctrine that used to make me laugh, they would say trouser is a sin. You don't tell them, but what about this white woman that is wearing trousers and preaching? You say God understands their condition. That he knows that their weather is very cold. So she's wearing... This is, so we have a gospel of cold and the gospel of heat or whatever, or gospel of the tradition. It's not it. So when we know that it is one body, then we know that it is one Bible, one doctrine, one calling, one ministry. And it is simply to grow men and perfect them. If the purpose for which you gather men in church and call it under the name of umbrella, is on the umbrella of the church, is not to grow men for them to be able to do ministry. Please just, you don't need to even close the venue. That place, because where you are, if no matter how beautiful the building is, just change the name. Eh? Just tell them that, brethren, see, I have been sent to equip you, to train you to make money. Do you know me? I will come. I will come. But just tell us that. Go to church. Go to church, normal church service. Go and locate church. Go and be grown spiritually. Then come to me, and I will make you fishers of money. And you will see me there, registered, in the front seat. I will be there. But don't come and gather us under the name of church, and then you are teaching us what I don't know. Church has one parameter. It's because of this deficit of why people don't know the purpose of church anymore. That is why we are seeing believers that are not grown. If every church understands its purpose, if every pastor, bishop, apostle, evangelist, everybody knows that they are supposed to teach believers, everybody will be growing. Praise God. Because we have churned our own. My own church is comedy. I want to make you laugh in the Holy Ghost. No, this one is not Holy Ghost though. I want to make you laugh and bring, like my dear sister is about to go and laugh tomorrow and give shout of praise unto our God. Is our God she's going to give, not the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So you are going to, come, let us do comedy for Christ. Let us come and dance to the Lord. Let's shake our bum that Jesus gave you. According to Pastor, Jesus never gave you any bum. It's your Father that gave you. Praise God. Okay, so church, this is the purpose for church. Know that when you're coming to church, know that that is why you're coming. You know, we said this before. It is even people that don't understand why they come to church, they're the ones putting pressure on pastors to deviate. You want to come to church and be entertained. You don't know where to go and buy a ticket of a dent of 1,000 laugh, 1,000,000 naira, and laugh. You want the church to come and fit everything in your life. They should give you entertainment. They should give you music you like. They should give you comedy. They should give you drama. You don't have African magic at home. We should give you drama here. We should give you what other thing. We should teach you how to make money. We should teach you how to fix. Like I had a flat tire this morning. The church should have come to teach me how to do flat tire. Be give my pump it. We should teach you all things now, be. So because of that pressure that people, members want, can't we just have a cultural day Sunday? We just come and showcase our tradition. Let's just dress there and show. You don't know people give pastor suggestions. Pastor, why is it every time Christ died? I don't know what that is to teach in the Bible. Let us, we are kingdom, this is 21st century believer. Okay. 21st century Holy Ghost. We must know the purpose of the church and know what to expect. Praise God. I'm just wondering any of you, in case anybody comes to meet me, one serious suggestion. Come and do, let's do what in church. Football Sunday. Holy Ghost just departed. Football Sunday. So everybody should be a jersey or what? You're going to your club? Okay. Oh, we also bake cake, Abby. The person at the club is not winning anything. What happened to that one? It will be sorrowful in the spirit. Godly sorrow. God forgive all of you. Anyway, why do I grow? One, find the right local church where their goal is to grow you up. Praise God. Number two, when you have found yourself there, submit yourself to the training there. Hebrews 13, verse 7. Submit yourself. If they say, open Bible, you open. If they say, come for evangelism, you come. If they say, read. If they say, sleep. They say, pray, you pray. Because it is in following those instructions that your growth is achieved. Don't think too much about how do I do the miraculous. Just follow the instructions as you are given per time. You yourself will surprise yourself by yourself. Do you understand? With time, you just realize that, I have known things. With time, I can do this. With time, I have boldness. How? By simply finding yourself in the right place, submitting yourself there, you will grow. Praise the Lord. All right, so you submit to the leadership there. You participate in meetings. You follow instructions. Anyone they say, let us rejoice, and then you are looking at them like, what are they doing? How can somebody just be laughing and nobody's making the person laugh? I must wait for my own angel to come and tickle me. Until my angel tickles me, I will laugh. And then people are, you know, that joy in the Holy Ghost used to be something that used to be strange to many people. You are free to laugh everywhere else. Alibaba has not finished talking, you have opened your mouth. You not come to church. You are waiting for something extra. Let joy rejoice in who you are. Brother, this is who God has made you. Brother, you are sanctified. Brother, you are holy and righteous. The number person wants job. Brother, you will never die again. Who that will help? As I did now, is dying no better. Participate. See, you don't have to wait. You know the funny thing. People wait for one serious thing to move them. Say, for these people to be laughing without external force, it means something inside is moving them. And then you're now waiting for your own something to move you. See, I'm waiting for my own move. Be waiting. You will be moved. Say you want to be moved with something inside. It's your kidney that will be moving you. But you are the one rejoicing. Which angel will come and be helping you rejoice? They say laugh. Just open your mouth and laugh. They say pray. Open your mouth and pray. You don't need to be moved. You are in church. It's just like your teacher telling you, write, and then you say, I don't want to write. I'm waiting for someone to move me to write. That same thing will move you for expulsion. I would have been a bad teacher, Sha. I have to be too strict. Praise God. All right, so you submit yourself to training there and participate. Then, of course, we can overemphasize prayers and the word. The word of God is the tool for your growth. Colossians 3:16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you. How? Richly. The word of God is the tool for your growth. You cannot outgrow this Bible. You must read it. How else would you know when somebody is saying something that is not there? Do you understand? If so, it's easy for why people are deceived. It's because some persons will go to church without Bible. You will not open. The pastor will just be reading his own. Are you sure that what he's reading is there? Imagine the pastor that said when James and John wanted to call down fire, Jesus, it's not as if Jesus told them that don't call down fire, or that Jesus did not rebuke them. He said it's in an open crusade. He said Jesus just told them, it's not only thunder, it's not only fire, you add thunder, join. That's why he called them sons of thunder. He said it's not just fire, you add thunder as well. He said it in a crusade. And people were saying, why? In fact, you are good to be deceived. When you will not carry Bible, you will not read it. They will be begging you, open your Bible in church. How will you know I'm quoting something that is not there? When you will not open it yourself. If you don't read it, in fact, 1 Corinthians, Ephesians 3. Ephesians 3, verse 1. For this cause, I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given me to you, word, how that by revelation he made unto me the mystery, as I what? Wrote before in few words, whereby when you do what? When you do what? When you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. So where would the knowledge come from? Reading. It is easy to just quote something. Say, my brethren, where's this popular? Cleanliness is next to godliness. The Bible said it. No scripture, no verse. They already written it there. It is written. Cleanliness is next to godliness. Or like the one that was very popular, I actually thought it was in the Bible when I was in secondary school. Don't you know that God said, heaven help those who help themselves. How do you expect God to help you when you have not helped yourself? And then we are now trying hard to at least bring yourself to the level where God can now have mercy on you and lift you up. That is not anywhere in the Bible. And it has been transferred. In fact, I'm sure there are some churches today where a pastor has said that heaven will help those who help themselves. It has just been transferred from generation to generation. Because somebody heard one person said it, he did not confirm. He too said it, he kept spreading. You won't read. You must be familiar with the Bible. You can't grow beyond it. Why? Romans 12, verse 1 to 2. Brethren, be renewed. Be not conformed to this world, but be what? Renewed by the renewing of your mind. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. What transforms you is when your mind, the transformation you want to see physically. That's the metamorpho. The fact that, you know, this butterfly transformation, they call it metamorphosis, where we in biology, I did not like how it grows from a larva to a pupa to what's that other thing? To a waiting adult. Why are people confusing me now? To maggot, Abby. Caterpillar, yes, I know that one. I now goes to caterpillar. And from caterpillar, it now goes to butterfly. Abi, So why is it called metamorphosis? Because when you see that butterfly, does it have any resemblance to caterpillar? When you see the caterpillar crawling, does it look like what can fly? That's how it is. So the transformation is great. It's just pam pam from east to west. You can't even see the correlation anymore. That's how, what changes you? How do you want to be transformed? You want to be seeing yourself as a mover and shaker of the world. You want to be a pillar of righteousness. You want to be this in the kingdom. How will you see yourself from where you are to where you are supposed to be? Transformation comes by the renewing of your mind. What renews your mind? The word. It is when you see who you are. You say, hey. Imagine some persons never knowing that they have been made righteous. How do you expect them to now live righteously? They don't know. So the transformation comes by the renewing of your mind, because your mind must catch up with your spirit and understand what has actually been done. Until then, thou art not growing. You are still at the ankle level. Praise the Lord. So in prayers, in the study of the word, we birth consciousness. We become conscious of our realities. We know what we have. It is that renewal that grows us. That is how we are changed. Hallelujah. Okay, we have to close. Let's just focus. Only last thing. The last thing I will say before we go and run away is that. You want to grow? You want to grow, right? You want to grow? You must practice. If you come here from morning to tomorrow, hear the word. Yeah. Just be hearing. And you don't do anything concerning what you heard. You don't try to put it into practice. Thou art not going anywhere. As you are today, so you shall be tomorrow and the day forevermore. You are saying amen. You have to practice. If you hear, speak in tongues. Imagine you see the Bible says that you will speak in tongues and you are still arguing with your Bible. Argue with the Bible. Am I supposed to speak in tongues? Show me another place, Bible. You practice it. They say you should do this. Do it. You know, with me, I don't like maths in school. Today, I don't know. I still don't like maths. Why do not like that maths? Because of that practice thing. If the teacher was just doing everything for us, he would say, okay. Not one will not finish. After he does one example and it looks easy, he will not say, oh, yeah, do this one. Practice example. And then when I get to the time for me to practice, I just give up because I can no longer comprehend how he did his own to how I would do my own. So I gave up on the mathematics. I just gave up. So I could not get better at it. But some persons, they did not get it. They will continue. They were there. I had a classmate. I'll be looking at this person. If you until he solves that equation, it's not standing. I'm looking at it. Once I try one, if I don't need to try, once I think it's true, and I cannot understand that, I will get from A to B. I just leave. How will you be telling me X raised to power Y divide dy dx over Z? The teacher is giving us an example. It's 2 raised to power 2. He now brought his own to we should do is d raised to power X minus X. Why? Find the square root of why I be integral of this one. I gave up. I could not follow through. But if I had continued practicing, sure, I would know it now. I'll be better. So the difference between me and the person that became better at it was not because he got a special mathematical brain from heaven. It was because he practiced. He kept practicing. Me, I rather went to read my novels and I'm better at what I read. He did his calculation. Me, I did my reading. And today, we are good at our various levels. Praise the Lord. But we don't have that kind of luxury in Christianity. We have to practice everything. You cannot say, me, my own, is just to practice word of knowledge. And we just be doing that one. You, your own, is to practice word of wisdom. You, your own, you'll be practicing revelation gift. We don't have that luxury. We all have the same spirit. And we must manifest the same word. Okay. 1 Corinthians 14, that's our last scripture. Then we'll go. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. You see why the church is a primary place for practice. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. 1 Corinthians 14, 26. Are we there? We are all reading it together. 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 26. If you are not there, say, Jesus is Lord. We are there. Glory. All right, let's start. How is it then, brethren? When you come together, Very good. Oh, Jude, what do you have now in this assembly? I'm not joking though. As you are reading that, you pick what you have. Please pause the way you come together. Let somebody have this. Let another person have this one. Let another person have this. Something must be done. You can't come to a meeting and then we'll just go. When you gather, this is what you're expecting to be doing. And that's how we practice. The church is the place to practice. You can fumble here in quotes. Do you understand? You can try and come and give, want to give word of knowledge or word of this, and you don't get it right at first. Nobody's going to laugh at you. Or you want to minister and minister to somebody and you're not doing it properly. Brother, somebody is okay. You see how when Barosi taught about giving and receiving healing, and now he said, okay, somebody was trying to start praying by saying, in the mighty name of Jesus, in the victorious name of Jesus, and say, okay, pause. You don't need to hype God. Just say in Jesus' name and continue. Do you know, that's practice. So in that practice, the brother has learned something different. So when you come to church now, somebody should have a psalm, somebody should have a hymn, somebody should have a tongue, another interpretation, somebody a revelation. All things will be done unto edifying. That is how we grow. That's how we grow. Well, left to me, if I was on my own without a place to practice, I'm sure tongues and interpretation looked like one. It looked harder than maths to me before. It was hard. How can you say someone just come there? Is it not hard enough to say speak in tongues? You don't say speak in tongues and still say what you have said again. It looked like the things that are meant for angels alone. But in practice, in church, I just people just doing. Okay. We ask questions. Like, okay, how does the tongues and interpretation come? I asked all those questions. I asked Pastor July a lot. I asked my husband. And then we get, okay. Before, if we say, Pastor then will tell us in the Bible, okay, tongue and interpretation, let's do demo, let's do practice. Come and give a tongue and interpretation. I will be at the back. I won't come out though. Normally, on a normal day, I don't like anything that brings me ahead. Anything that makes me, I just prefer to just stay, just leave me where I am. Do you understand? So they now say it should not even be my choice that come. I will change, but you do not come in. Now. You say I should come. I will wait there. The Lord has not ministered to me to go. And I was telling them that I wanted a leading. I actually told my pastor that I was waiting for a prompt to tell me that I actually had something to give before I could go out. No, it's not like you are the one that will decide that you want to bless the house. What will make me? You know, we ask all those questions, but at least we get better. But when you don't want, you hear these things, you are not interested, you don't even let them just be doing their own thing, and they say, okay, we give opportunity, somebody come and let's bless the house, you are just on your own. Don't let me know God for myself. You'll be there. Nobody knows God for himself by himself. He has given you men to teach you, and you must make use of that opportunity. When you're in church, you practice. Are we blessed? Do you understand what I said? Spiritual growth. Do we understand it? So judge yourself. Where are you? What is your level? Brother Daniel, are you at the ankle level? Are you at the waist level? Because me, in Christ, I'm grown. I am fully grown. I'm just telling you all these things, but me, I know my reality. I'm grown in Christ. I don't need to go through all this story. I just know the word. In fact, I'm here now. I'm seeing the things just right. It's just in my face. I am. Brethren, you can start praying. You can start praying. As you are praying now, you are going to receive something. You are praying to receive something for someone else. We are in church. We must edify one another. We must edify one another. Pray till you edify. That's why Paul said, let him speak in tongues till he interprets. You pray in tongues till things become clear to you. You pray in tongues. You open your Bible. You read and study and get clearer understanding, a clearer picture of what you want to see. Pray in tongues until boldness is bettered up in you. You pray in tongues until you know something you've never known before. You know, I was actually amazed when Pastor preached when we did a series on effectiveness in prayer. And Pastor said, how God answers your prayer is by the gifts of the Spirit. So, the easiest way to get answers to your prayers is to be a master of all the gifts. That's the easiest way. If you always want to see answered prayers, just be a master of manifesting the Spirit. You will always have answers to your prayers. That's awesome. That's awesome. That's awesome. That's awesome. Spiritual growth is not a mirage. We can actually be all that God wants us to be. We can manifest the Spirit fully. We We can manifest the Spirit fully. We are excellent beings. We can actually be that. We can be that. We can be that. I'll give you some more seconds. Pray in tongues to the point that you can edify. Because right now we are going to edify one another. You must have something for someone. You must have something for someone. The Bible says the body makes increase of itself. It means our own increase will come from within ourselves. Among the things you need to grow you up, the wisdom you need, the understanding you need, the direction you need is actually present here. And if you cannot receive it for yourself, someone can receive it for you. So when you come to church, you should be excited because you say, ah, this thing has been plaguing my mind, and we have answers. This thing has been weighing me down, and we receive comfort. That's why we gather. That's why we gather. That's why we gather. I receive help of the Spirit. It's sad that we have limited the benefits we get to church to material resources. So people now try, they go to church seeking connections, go to church seeking where they can be given money, where you can see many persons that have money that can give you. It's beyond that. It's beyond that. Your greatest asset is the believer beside you. And not for rice, not for beans, not for money, but for eternal things. Alright, just be on your feet or pick up someone. Just edify somebody today. Just look for someone. Ensure you are with somebody. Ensure you are with somebody. Ensure you are with somebody. Be determined to bless by the Spirit. If you have an issue that you just want someone to agree with you right now, just meet the person and say, let's agree on this particular matter. Just locate somebody. Locate somebody. Let it be a communication. I'm not saying just hold each other and pray in tongues. Be deliberate about edifying one another. Be deliberate about edifying one another. Be deliberate. Be a blessing to somebody. I did not say just hold hands and be praying in tongues. As in, talk to each other. Let it be a communication. Give somebody something. You know, you are giving an interpretation of tongues, or you are giving a word. That's why I said pray on your seat first, because I assume by now you are edified. You are receiving things directly. You are giving somebody. Just come to church carelessly and see you're coming to receive. You are equipped to bless. You don't have all the time. You don't have all the time. Bless someone by the Spirit. Answer someone's question by the Spirit. Give a word of knowledge. Give a word of wisdom. Give an interpretation. Give a direction. Give a revelation. To you, this is the direction of God to you. Yeah, let us practice the things that we have. Hallelujah. Let us practice the things that we have. Oh. Oh, Jesus died and resurrected for you to be able to do this. It might look simple, but it It took the resurrection of Christ for you to be able to do this. For you to be able to have something to bless someone with spiritually. The Jews were prided in the circumcision of the flesh. But Paul said, you are actually the circumcision. What they were doing externally and they were glorying in it, you are that circumcision. Your circumcision is of the heart. You worship God in the spirit. You rejoice in Christ Jesus. You have no confidence in the flesh. Glory! By the ability of God. It's beautiful. It's actually beautiful. It's beautiful. Beautiful. Hallelujah. Okay, let's just take a brief announcement and close service. greetings from Pastor.